Well, I always look forward to spring for many different reasons. One is because of this service. We just have an opportunity to come together and enjoy a nice lunch. Again, I hope even if you didn't know we're having that today that you plan on staying. And just a time to fellowship and enjoy each other's company. As you know, I'm a sport fan. One of the things that many of us who like sports look forward to is the big NCAA tournament. How many of you have watched at least a little basketball the last couple of days? Okay, so the number of hands are up, okay? I woke up Saturday morning, and this picture was plastered everywhere, okay? And I'm looking at a team I've never seen before, and it says on their jersey, the Retrievers, in the kind of a yellow uniform. You know what I'm thinking already. These are the Golden Retrievers, I guess. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And they are the number 16, the bottom number 16 seed. They're a team that's not even supposed to be in the tournament. And even this morning, a couple guys were telling me, Greg, they really shouldn't have even been there. And so their first game, as they take the best team against the worst team, is they play the number one team in the country, Virginia. They have no chance, and yet the Retrievers, whoever they are, not only beat Virginia, they beat them by 20 points. And that's the nobody could believe. I'm seeing this picture, and I'm like, who are these guys? And I read the New York Times website. Here it says, Virginia loses in a way no one will ever forget. And I'm like, who are these guys? You know, they beat Virginia. Who are they? And then I have to go to yet another article, and it says number 16, UMBC, over number one, Virginia. It will change March Madness forever. And I'm like, okay, now at least I know they're UMBC. And I still have no idea what that means. And I read the article, and I find out it's the, I can't even remember now. It's the the University of Maryland, Baltimore campus. There you go. Is that right? County, Baltimore County. Okay, University of, and I'm not, that's no disrespect to them. Okay, so the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. All right, and they're the Retrievers. Now, notice the headlines from the New York Times. Virginia loses in a way no one will ever forget. You know, maybe a little bit of overstatement. How many of you didn't even know that Virginia lost until I just brought it up? Okay, many of you. How many of you already knew it, but are confident you'll forget it one day besides me, right? I can't even remember the name of the school. Now, here's my question. Here's a team that's excited, and I think those of us who like March Madness, we share their excitement. But is that okay to boast in that? Is it okay to be the number 16, not even supposed to be invited to the big dance, and here you are knocking off the number one team? Is it okay to boast in that? You know, we talked a little bit about boasting as in our study in Romans. We're in Romans chapter 5, and yet on Spring Fellowship, I don't want to just continue our study through Romans. I'd like to do something a little different. I have been meditating a lot on boasting and what the Bible says about boasting, and probably the classic passage on that topic is in Jeremiah chapter 9. We'll be looking this morning at a message, the title I've called Boast in Yahweh, two verses out of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24. I'll go ahead and read those again, please. Jeremiah 9, if you want to follow along, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches. You say, what in the world is that all about? Well, let's just kind of walk through this text a little bit together, see if we can make sense, and then I hope it'll encourage us all. Number one, the Bible's teaching us not to boast in what we have. Notice what it says. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Now, are you a wise person? If you are, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible's not saying it's wrong to be wise, or if I could use the word smart. I know that wisdom's not the same as knowledge, but you know what? If you don't have knowledge, you can't be a wise person. So there's certainly a relationship there. How would we know who a wise person is? And I was trying to think of how to illustrate that, and many of us are at least familiar with IQ tests. And I've taken through the years IQ tests, and maybe we're a little bit familiar. I actually went online as I'm working on this sermon, thinking about, okay, I wonder what I could find online as far as intelligence tests. You might say, Greg, I'm wondering, am I a wise person? Well, I just throw a question here. If you're considered a wise person, you would come to an IQ test like this. Here's an actual question. And you would know this, right? Which number logically follows this series? 4, 6, 9, 6, 14, 6. The next number, would it be 6, 17, 19, or 21? Now, if you're a wise person, you would probably know that. And some of you are struggling. You're sitting there thinking, I'm going to look like I know it, but I don't, okay? And if you, I thought, I'm going to show you two, and just this one I thought was pretty easy, okay? And maybe for you, you already got it faster than me. Maybe you're struggling a little bit, but the answer there would, of course, be what? 19, right? And you can see there's a certain way. Then 4 plus 5 is 9, and another 5 is 14, another 5 is 19. That, to me, was pretty easy. This next one I actually struggled with a bit. Which conclusion follows from the statements with absolute certainty? Ready? Number one, none of the stamp collectors is an architect. Number two, all the drones are stamp collectors. Which of these are true? All stamp collectors are architects. Architects are not drones. No stamp collectors are drones, or some drones are architects. That was one that actually, I'd rather have numbers any day. So I kind of wrestled. It was a time test. This one took me a little bit of time to think about it. But if you're an intelligent person, you already know that, right? And by the looks of your faces, some of you are struggling a little bit with this one. Maybe you're like me, doing better with numbers than with statements, okay? The correct answer would be, anybody really confident, want to shout it out? We know that it's absolutely true that what? That architects are not drones, okay? And if you're saying, I'm going to puzzle over that the whole rest of the message, and that would be bad because I don't want you to do that. Come see me after and I'll explain it to you if you need help. Now, if you did well, I'll leave it up for a little bit. If you did well on both of those, then allegedly maybe you're a little bit more intelligent. The average IQ is 100. Can I remind you of high school or maybe collegiate statistics? Average IQ is 100. Standard deviation is roughly 15, 16, depending on what IQ test you're taking. Go two standard deviations above the mean. That would be 130. If you got both of those pretty quickly, probably you have an IQ roughly about 130. That means you're 2%. We have some math people here. If you're two standard deviations above the mean, you're in the top 2% of the population. You say, how did you know that? I used to teach statistics, and so that's just a little bit of background there. If you got those two pretty good and not difficult for you, probably sitting around an IQ maybe of around 130, top 2%, that's good. That is nowhere close to the gentleman with the highest IQ ever. There's a picture of William James Sidis. His IQ, it's so high they had trouble putting a number on it, somewhere between 250 and 300. You say, what does that mean? It means he typed at age 5. It means that this young man, when he was 5 years old, not only spoke English, he also knew Greek, Latin, French, Hebrew, Russian, and German. At age 6, he applied to Harvard, and he met all of the qualifications, but they wouldn't let him in because they just thought it's too weird to have a 6-year-old, okay? He tried every year until he was 11. They finally gave in at age 11. They let him in. And as you can imagine, an 11-year-old might be really, really intelligent. This guy really was. Maybe not going to do well socially in college. He didn't. Life got rough. He died early. A little bit of a sad story. What's my point? There's nothing wrong with being a wise person. You may be a wise person. You may have saw those two questions and hit them really quick. You might be a person who has a pretty high IQ. There's nothing wrong with that. And you shouldn't feel badly about that. But notice what the Bible says in verse 23. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. It's not wrong to be wise, but it's not something you'd want to boast in. You say, why? Well, let's not answer that yet. Let's just see what comes next. Not only does it say, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, but next in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, let not the mighty man boast of his might. Now, you might be a very mighty person. You might be a strong person. You might work out and be kind of buff. Okay, and I'm just looking at somebody in the front row who's shaking his head like, don't look at me, so I won't. And you might, maybe you're in the back and you're buff. And you work out, you're really strong. Maybe you're awesome in sports. I was trying to think of what do I think of when I think of somebody who's mighty in sports, maybe it would be a picture like this. LeBron sailing through the air, about to do just another dunk. Whether you like him as a person or not, incredible basketball player, that somebody that strong could be that quick and play the way he does, but that's just physical strength. How about people that have political strength? I think about our president, Donald Trump, you know, the commander-in-chief of what many would call maybe the strongest military in the world. That's power. It's not wrong to have power. But notice what the text says in verse 23. It says, let not the mighty man boast of his might. It's not wrong to have wisdom, but don't boast in it. It's not wrong to have might and be strong, but don't boast in it. You say, why not? Well, not yet. Let's go. There's one more. You see it here in chapter 9, verse 23? Right after it says, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might. One more. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. Now, you might be financially secure. You might be wealthy. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know there's some people who maybe don't really know their Bibles well, and they'll say, well, I've always thought money was the root of all evil. I think most of you understand that's not accurate. That's not in the Bible. The Bible does teach the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, so that's accurate. But there's nothing wrong with being rich any more than being mighty, any more than being wise. God may bless a person with riches. Now, whether that's good or bad can be debated, but there's nothing wrong with it. You say, well, what would that look like? I thought, well, I'll just Google, who are the richest people in the world? Who are the top three? And actually, I had two of the three. I could have named their names ahead of time. And the two guys that I thought were one and two are actually two and three. And the guy who's actually the richest person in the world, I didn't even know his name. Once I saw his company, then all of a sudden it hit me, okay? You say, who's the richest three people in the world? Well, I think many of you will know the name of that gentleman. You see his picture. That's Warren Buffett. He is worth $84 billion. And who's going to be number two right above him? It would be Bill Gates. These are the two gentlemen whose names I knew. Now, he's worth $112 billion. So we have Buffett at $84 billion, Gates at $90 billion. That's pretty close. It's only 14 million apart, right? What's 14 billion, you know? Can anybody shout out who's number one? Yeah, some of you knew it. I didn't know his name. This is Jeff Bezos, and he is the founder and the head of Amazon, worth $112 billion. The first time ever there's been a person in the world who is worth over $100 billion. And that's not wrong. And I don't know these gentlemen. I don't know anything about them, really, just except their companies or what have you. You say, is it okay to be that wealthy? It's not wrong. But notice what the text says. The text says, let not a wise man what? Boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man what? Boast of his might. Let not a rich man what? Boast of his riches. The Bible makes it very clear you're not to boast in these things. That would be wrong. Now the question would be, you know, tell me why. Why would it be wrong to boast in these things? And the text really doesn't come right out and tell us. There's actually at least two reasons why. And many people will give you one of these. Many people will give you both. We're going to hit them both. Why would it be wrong to boast in wisdom or might in riches? Why is it wrong to boast in what you have? There's at least two reasons. Number one, because everything you have is a gift. You can't take credit for it. Every single good thing in your life is a gift. So why would you boast in it like you had something to do with it? And you might say, well, Greg, how about a basketball player like LeBron? No doubt he works out a lot. Well, no doubt he does. But you and I could work out, and we would still never play basketball like that. You say, but he's disciplined. Well, no doubt he's disciplined, but some of us could be disciplined, and we could never play basketball like that. You say, well, he's still an awesome player. Well, How does he jump that high? Who gave him the legs to jump? Who gave him the lungs to breathe in the oxygen to allow him to jump? No, who created the oxygen that could fill his lungs? I mean, every good thing comes from God. And even if you're really good at business and you start Amazon and you're the world's wealthiest person, that's all a gift from God. Or if you're a very strong person militarily, or maybe a very wise person, have a high IQ, it's all a gift from God. You say, can you show me that in the Bible? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? If you did receive it, why do you boast as if you not received it? If you're good at something, it's a gift from God. And even if you say, yeah, but come on, I worked hard to get better at it, even the ability to work is a gift from God. The brain that allowed you to think, I want to get better, is a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. We shouldn't boast in anything that we have. You know, I think another relevant verse is James chapter 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from the Father, from God our Father. Some of you know the rest of that verse. From the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness nor shifting of shadow. God is so good, he's not like a shadow always changing. God is a God who gives good things. You know how good he is? Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. So why would you boast in it? You know, if you're good at something, it's not like you signed up and said, yeah, you know, I'm somebody, I got the gift. And I want to be careful, I'm not putting down your gift, okay? Again, we have an incredible basketball player visiting with us today, right? Who no doubt would excel in that sport. But even that's a gift from God. And maybe you were sitting here and you got those two IQ questions and you're like, Greg, those were easy. Why did you struggle with the second one? You didn't struggle, maybe because you're so incredibly wise. But that's a gift from God. So why don't we boast? Well, number one, anything good we have, it's a gift. You can't take credit for it. I think that's one of the reasons why we shouldn't boast. But I think there's a second reason why we shouldn't boast. Even if you've been blessed with wisdom, verse 23, or might, verse 23, or riches, verse 23. Because all of those things are inadequate. None of those things can meet your deepest need. You say, where do you get that from? I get it from the context of Jeremiah 9. It's really interesting. Verse 23 and 24, a lot of people struggle with, why are they here in this chapter? I mean, these are two incredible verses, but I'm not really sure how they relate to the whole chapter. Let's kind of just go back to the beginning of the chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing because of time, but can I point out a few of the things that are happening in this chapter? Why would God say to Israel many years ago through Jeremiah that you shouldn't be boasting in these three things? Well, there was a problem. Way back in Jeremiah chapter 9, let's just look at verse 3, for example. It says in verse 3 about God's people, the Jewish nation. In Jeremiah 9:3, they bend their tongues like the bow, lies and not truth prevail in the land. They proceed from evil to evil. Key phrase, end of verse 3, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. These are people that didn't know the Lord. They were Jewish, but they didn't really know the Lord. And because they didn't know the Lord, they were boasting in things that really didn't matter. Because they didn't know the Lord, and they were living wicked lives, what's happening? Judgment is going to come. I'll pick it up in verse 7. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine and assay them, for what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow, it speaks deceit. With his mouth one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Verse 9, shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself. You say, what's going on? God is saying, here's a group of people, and they think they have it together. And they're boasting in what? They're boasting that they have wisdom. They're boasting that they're strong. They're boasting that they're a people that have great might. And they're sinning against God. Judgment is coming. In fact, the city of Jerusalem will fall. Notice verse 10. For the mountains I will take up a weeping and a wailing, and for the pastures of the wilderness a dirge, because they are laid waste so that no one passes through. And the lowing of the cattle is not heard, both the birds of the sky and the beasts have fled, they're gone. God's saying destruction is coming, and it's going to be so bad the animals won't even stay here. Verse 11, I'll make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitation. You say, what did God's people do that is so wrong? Look at verse 13. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. So God's people, Israel, basically they turn their back on the Lord. And instead of worshiping him, notice verse 14, but have walked after the stubbornness of their heart, after the Baals, those are false gods, as their fathers taught them. They're worshiping false gods. They're not worshiping the one true and living God. And the Lord says, judgment is coming. How bad is it going to be? Well, you better get your mourners ready to mourn, because there's going to be a whole lot of death. This is a very sobering chapter. Now, real quick, just to help us understand the chapter, back in that time, when something really bad happens, you would hire a mourner. So at a funeral, you would actually pay women to come, and they would mourn, and they would publicly express sorrow. That was their job. You paid them to do it. It was just part of the culture, okay? Notice what the text says here. In verse 17, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women that they may come, and send for the wailing women that they may come. Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may shed tears and our eyelids flow with water. For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion, how we are ruined. We are put to great shame, for we have left the land because they have cast down our dwellings. And there's going to be such destruction. There's going to be so many people that die that they're going to run out of women. You're not going to be able to hire any more women to mourn because you don't have them. And so notice what comes next here in the text, verse 20. Now hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor a dirge. You say, what does that mean? Take all of your daughters and teach them how to mourn, because we can't find anybody else to pay to mourn. So many people are dying that our own daughters are going to have to take up the mourning. So challenging is the situation that these people are in. You say, why? Because of the death that has come. Look at verse 21. For death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces to cut off the children from the streets, the young men from the town squares. Speak, thus saith the Lord. The corpses of men will fall like dung on the open field, like the sheaf after the reaper, but no one will gather them. That's the context. Now notice what comes next, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches. You say, what's going on in context? God is saying, you guys got to quit doing what you're doing. Here you are. And you don't even worship me. You don't boast in me because you don't know me. And instead of knowing me, you're sitting around thinking, wow, we have it together, right? We are wise people. We are mighty people. We are rich people. And when you have all of that going for you, who needs the Lord? And there's a whole lot of people in our world, and they boast. And they live in beautiful homes. Caution, there's nothing wrong with that. And they drive incredibly nice cars. Caution, there's nothing wrong with that. And they're incredibly wise people. They know how to start companies and then make billions of dollars. Caution, there's nothing wrong with that. And they boast in that. And there's everything wrong with that. Because a day is coming where those things won't matter. It won't matter at all. Because when Christ comes back, or our life comes to an end, Christ is not going to ask anybody, hey, how wise are you? How much might do you have? How much money did you make? That will not be adequate to deliver you from judgment. That's the chapter of Jeremiah chapter 9. That's the context. That's why the Lord is saying both to people, verse 23, let not a wise man boast, and in a sense to all of his people, to the nation, and to us. Don't boast in your wisdom, your might, or your riches. These are things that can't meet your greatest need. You say, what's my greatest need? Well, let's just look at the next verse. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. So number one, don't boast in what you have. You say, then what do I boast in? Verse 24, number two, on the other point we'll have today. Don't boast in what you have. But number two, boast in whom you know. Notice what the text says. Let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. What they do is they take the proper name of God, the Lord, and in many of our English translations, if you're looking at verse 24, you have Lord in all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's just the translator's way of saying that's not just the average word for Lord, that's God's name. God has a name. God is not his name. His name is Yahweh. And he is Lord, but Lord is not his name. You know, people from all different religions say, I worship God. People from all different religions say, I worship the Lord. And they use those words, but there's only one true God who is Lord, and his name is Yahweh. God the Father is Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. The Holy Spirit is Yahweh. And that's why I appreciate the Holman Christian Standard Bible just reminding us of that. There's a whole message on this that I preached a while back online if that's interesting to you. But the point of the text is what? Boast in something that matters. Boast not in what you have, but boast in whom you know. Do you know Yahweh? Do you know him personally? No, doesn't mean I read about him in a book. I even read my Bible through each year. And by the way, I try to read my Bible through each year, and that's a good thing. But that's not what the word means. When it says that he understands and knows me, it is a word of personal relationship. It means that you have a personal relationship with Yahweh. And how does that happen? Because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have repented of your sin. And you have said, yes, I am a sinner and I deserve to be judged. And I'm not going to trust in my wisdom or my might or my riches. I am going to put my faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who goes to a cross and he suffers and he dies in my place. And he pays the price of my sin. That's what it means to know the Lord. That's why Jesus could say, John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. Maybe sometimes people ask you, give me a good definition. Here it is, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What does it mean to know the Lord? It means to know Jesus Christ. It means to be a follower of Christ. And knowing Christ, believing in Christ, being a follower of Christ, that's ultimately the only thing that really matters. Which is why Jeremiah says, number one, don't boast in what you have. Number two, boast in whom you know. People who get all caught up boasting and I am so smart, boasting that I'm so strong. Boasting that I have so much money. Check out what I have. Are typically people that don't know Christ. Because when you know Jesus Christ and you know that you're forgiven of all of your sin, that is so incredibly awesome. That money's just not so important anymore. Might's not so important anymore. Wisdom's not so important anymore. And I'm not, again, suggesting that any of those are wrong. And if God has blessed you with wisdom, with might, with money, thank Him for it. Remember, they're all gifts. But boast in something that matters. Because there's coming a day. The Bible is very clear. There's coming a day where your IQ won't matter. And your wisdom will not deliver you from judgment. There's coming a day where your political power won't matter. It will not deliver you from judgment. There's coming a day when how much money you make won't matter at all. And everyone who boasts in those things, and I don't say this with any type of meanness, I regret this, but they will spend eternity wishing they had boasted in Christ, not even knowing that the things they boasted in don't matter at all. Which is not to say they're wrong. Nor would we condemn anyone who's intelligent, powerful, or rich. But if you're going to boast, boast in something that matters. Boast that you know Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. We are here because I trust that your faith is in Jesus. You may have a lot of money or little money. You may be incredibly intelligent, or you might be saying, Greg, can I see the first question again? Because I still don't get the math. That's fine. You may be incredibly mighty, or you might be a person who's physically not so strong. Ultimately, none of that matters. What matters is your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've repented of your sin, repent, you know, that's a word a lot of people don't know. It means to turn. And I've done this many times, and you're used to this, but every single person goes through life living for themselves. And by God's grace, one day you realize, I'm going to hell. This is not the way I want to go. And then God gives you life, and you become a follower of Christ. That's what repentance, the word just means turn. And you say, I am going to believe in Jesus, that He died on a cross in my place, and He's the one that paid the price of my sin. And now that I'm forgiven, I can look forward to going to heaven. And whether I, on the way, make a lot of money or little money, whether I gain a lot of wisdom or a little wisdom, whether I become incredibly strong or not so strong, it doesn't matter. All that matters is Christ. Jesus Christ is all that matters. If you know Him, boast in Him. Give Him glory. Go through every day thinking, this is incredible that I could know Jesus. And all the strong, intelligent, rich people, don't envy them. Because what they have is of no value when they get ready to hit the next life. But what you have, if you know Christ, is everything. Boast in Christ. Rejoice in Christ. Give thanks that you would know the one true and living God. The one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh. And that's true of you. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, because Jesus says this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you understand this simple gospel message, then I pray by God's grace inside you, there's a desire of, Greg, I want to boast in God. I just want to praise Him. And that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. If this message just seems odd, boring, indifferent, could I remind you that there is a day coming and only one thing will matter? Do you know Jesus Christ? And everything else, even the good things in your life, won't matter at all. I would love to have the opportunity to talk with you about that. We have other men and women here from the church who would love to talk with you. We're going to be going to lunch in just a little bit. I would gladly miss lunch to have the privilege to just kind of grab one of these classrooms or go sit in a quiet place and just sit down and talk with you about what it means to know Jesus Christ, so that by his grace, one day you will know the true and living God, and you will join us in boasting that you know him, and it's all because of his grace. That's the true gospel. If I can help, if you need help, before you leave, please let me know. And even if you say I'm not comfortable with that, just on the bulletin, right, there's an email address, just shoot an email to the church and say, whatever, I want to talk to Greg, maybe you don't want to talk to me, just say I want to talk to somebody. And whether we email back and forth, whether we do a phone call or grab coffee, there is nothing more important than making sure that you know what it means to boast in Yahweh. Let's pray.